Tonight's shiur, Parshas Beshalach. Klal Yisrael, they left Mitzrayim, they're heading towards the Yamsuf. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells them, beginning of Perek Yudal, V'yidaber Hashem Moshe Lemer, Derber B'nei Yisrael, V'yashuvu V'yachanu Lifnei Piach Hiros. Hashem tells Moshe that Klal Yisrael will have to turn around and go back towards the direction of Mitzrayim. Rashi says, L'choreyam, L'tzad Mitzrayim. The Gemara in Sota relates that when the Am Yisrael were at the Yam, there was a machlokes going on. Who is going to be the one that's going to jump in first? According to one Chazal, that Yehuda wanted to go in, and Binyamin said, "We're going in." Yehuda said, "We're going in." And first Binyamin jumped in, and then it says Yehuda started throwing stones at them. Okay. So what's going on over here? So I saw an interesting parish once. That Klal Yisrael traveled in a certain order with the tribes. So at the front of the group was Yehuda. They led the way. At the back of the camp, while they were traveling, that was Binyamin. So what happened? They're approaching Yam Suf, and again, you know, traveling forward, and Yehuda was at the front. They're getting towards Yam Suf, and all of a sudden they get the message via Shuvu, they have to turn around and go back the other way. So we call it about face. 180 degrees, they have to turn around. So what happens? So now Yehuda, who were at the front, 180 degrees, now they're facing back towards Mitzrayim, and Binyamin is in the other direction. So now Binyamin, they were closer to the Yam, because they just switched around. Then all of a sudden comes the Mitzrayim, and they're trapped. So what happens? Binyamin, now they're closest to the Yam after the 180 degree turn, so they want to jump in. Yehuda, they're at the other end. So Yehuda's saying, wait, don't, I want to be the one that jumps in at the other end now. So, Lamaisa, since they were both really wanted to be the first one to go in, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm happy with both of you, and he rewarded them that the Beis HaMikdash was in the chelek of both Binyamin and Yehuda. An interesting diuk in a mashal that Chazal gives. So the Chazal gave the following mashal. There's once a father who wanted to take a nap, but he didn't want to oversleep. So he had an older son and a younger son. He told the older son, I want you to wake me up after 4 hours. He told the younger son, wake me up after 1 hour. So what happens? After 1 hour of sleep, the younger son, as he was told, goes to his father to wake him up. The older boy happens to be there and says, hey, what are you doing? So he says, what do you mean? Abba told me to wake him up after an hour. He goes, no, he wants to sleep for 4 hours. He can't wake him up now. He says, no, he said now, after an hour. He goes, no, 4 hours. He goes, no, 1 hour, no, 4 hours. They're screaming back and arguing with each other. In the meantime, the father wakes up from all the noise. The father says, but since you both, you know, did it out of your respect for me and to listen to me, you know, I'm very happy. So too, Binyamin wanted to jump in, Yehuda wanted, but they're both doing it, L'shem Shemayim, so Hashem was happy with both. It's an interesting diuk. Why, Dafka, did Chazal pick 4 hours and 1 hour? Right? The older boy was supposed to wake the father 4 hours, the younger boy had 1 hour. Why is it stum, nothing stum in Chazal? So why 4 hours and 1? Okay, what's the difference, the hefresh, between 4 and 1? 3. So the difference of 3 hours over here, between the two boys. So very meduyak, why? Because the camp of Klal Yisrael was how big? The Gemara says in Sota was 3 parsas from one end to the other. Camp of Yisrael. Memela, we said, what happened? When they turned around and now Binyamin was near the Yam and they wanted to jump in, and we said Yehuda at the other end of the camp, which was 3 parsas away, said, no, wait, I want to come. So what happens? He wanted Binyamin to wait, which is, it's going to take how long to get to the other end? So the camp is 3 parsas. Another Chazal tell us in order to that a person can travel 10 parsas in a day. Let's say a 10-hour day. Let's say you can walk for. So in 10 hours you can walk 10 parsas, which means a parsa an hour. So to get from one end of the camp to the other, which is 3 parsas, takes around 3 hours. Mimele, that's the 3 hours. That's why Chazal chose the older boy 4 hours, wake me up, the younger boy 1 hour, wake me up, the difference of 3 hours, because that was their very meduyak. Because that's the amount of time it would take for Yehuda to get from one end of the camp to the other end to catch up to be with Binyamin, to jump into the yam first. Pasuk Tesvav says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Mati Tzakelai, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'Isau." Says, "Why are you screaming? Why are you davening to me?" Hashem says, "Speak to Bnei Yisrael. Let them go. Let them travel. Let them jump in the yam." So everybody asks the question, "What do you mean? Why are you davening to me? What is the yid supposed to do when he's in trouble? Daven." So what was Hashem's tying at a Moshe Rabbeinu? "Oh, what are you Mlamati Tzakelai? What do you mean Mlamati Tzakelai? Of course. What else are you going to do?" So Moshe Keller is following Mashal. Says there was once a wealthy man, very wealthy and influential man, and he had only one son. The one son did some bad things, and the father felt, al tzchinach, he has to kick his son out of the house, you know, to teach him a lesson. So, kicks his son out of the house without anything. Didn't give him food, clothing, nothing, just whatever he has on, kicks him out. So, the boys wandering the streets like a homeless, you know what, nothing, we're sleeping on the bench. Right? So it's okay the first day or two, but things are getting very rough. Eventually it gets to the matzav where his shoes wear out and his feet are getting cold and he can't anymore. So he goes to a neighbor and he says, "Listen, can you do me a big favor? Can you speak to my father and beg, you know, for some mercy? Let me, you know, I have to get back home. I can't anymore. I need a pair of shoes. I need..." So he says, okay, I'll speak to your father. So he goes to the rich man, the father, and he says, "Listen, you have to have rachmanis on your poor son. He has nothing, and he's suffering, and he has no shoes." And so what does he say? He says, "Listen, what do you think? Think it doesn't hurt me. I don't care about my son. I don't care if he's walking around. Of course, I know it hurts me more than it hurts him. But what am I supposed to do until my son straightens out? I can't. I'll schinich. I just can't let him back in." So too, same thing over here. Klal Yisrael were at Yom Suf. The Sarim of the Mitzrim were Mekatreg and said, "Halalu avodei avodei zara." He says, "Why is Klal Yisrael any different than the Mitzrim? They're both the words of avodei zara." So Moshe Rabbeinu is davening, "Hashem, help, Hashem, help." So Hashem says, "What do you think? I don't care. I don't want to help my people. I'd love to help my people, but until they straighten out, what am I supposed to do? I can't help them. So mati tzakelai. Instead, daver b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. Let them do something of significance. Show that their strength in emuna, bitachon. Let them jump in the yam. Go for it. Then I'll help them until they straighten out. There's nothing I can do." Part of the Shiras Hayam, the beginning of Shiras Hayam, we have the pasuk Gazi Asher Moshe Bnei Yisrael v'chulei Asher al Hashem ki go goas sus v'rochvo rama v'yam. So what's the idea of sus v'rochvo? Rashi says shneim kshirim ze b'zeh, that they were this horse and the rider were stuck to each other. V'mayim malim osam larum moridim osam laomek ve'inam nifredim. The yam was picking him up, bringing him down, but they didn't separate. They stuck together, the rider and the horse. So, question's obvious. Why the need for this miracle? Why did Hashem make sure that the horse and the rider stuck together? So the Panim Yafos answers based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that after 120 years, a person goes up to judgment, the neshama, it's going to try to get out of bad din and say, "Look, Hashem, you can't punish me because it's not my fault. So I'm just a spirit, you know, I'm just in the neshama. Who do you think did all these averas anyway? I can do averas without the goof. Not my body. I couldn't do any averas. A neshama doesn't do averas. It's the goof. So what do you want from me?" So Hashem says, "Okay." Turns to the goof and says, "Okay, goof, you know, you're responsible. All these averas." He goes, "Me? It's not just a goof can't look at it. The neshama left the goof. Where's the goof now? In the grave. Can't do anything. A goof without a neshama is meaningless. It can't do anything. It can't move. So what do you want from me? It's a neshama. With a neshama, I wouldn't be able to do any averas." So what does Hashem do? He says, "Okay." So he connects, puts the neshama back into goof, and says, "Okay, now I can judge you both." Mashal, Chazal give. To a person who had a vineyard, and he wanted it to be guarded, watched. So he hired couple of guys, you know, cheap labor, a blind person and a lame person. So what happened? They wanted to steal some of the fruit that they were watching, but they couldn't because the lame person couldn't move and the blind person couldn't see. So they had an idea, and the lame person went on the shoulders of the blind person and he said, here, go right, go left, whatever, and then he plucked the fruit from the trees. So the Balabais came back and came and said, see what's going on. He sees he's missing fruit. He goes, where's my fruit? So he assumed the Shomrim took it. He says, hey, how can you steal my fruit? He turns to the blind person. He goes, me? I can't see fruit. How am I supposed to steal? I can't see them. And he goes to the lame person. Hey, you stole my fruit. He goes, me? I can't reach these fruit. I can't get up. I'm confined to a wheelchair. So the Balabai says, oh yeah, come here. He takes the two guys, he puts the lame person on the shoulders of the blind person, and then punishes them together. Memela says the Panim Yafa, same thing. Right? The rider and the horse, same thing. Right? They ran after Klal Yisrael, so Hashem wants to punish him. So he says, okay, we're punishing you, rider for the Egyptian for running after Klal Yisrael. Me running? I can't run after Klal Yisrael. I just have 2 feet. How am I supposed to run after Klal Yisrael? It was the horse. Without the horse, I couldn't come to Klal Yisrael. So Hashem turns to the horse. It's your fault. He goes, my fault? It's not my fault. If horses are without a rider to steer him, it was not my fault. So Hashem says, yeah, fine. So he puts the rider on the horse and judges them together. Mela, that's why Yam Suf, they were together. Ben Ish Chai is a beautiful vort connected to this inyan. Says, brings the Gemara in Sukkah in Mef Mem Hei, in Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Yachol Ani Liftor Es Kol Olam Kulo Min Adin. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said a fantastic thing. He says, if I wanted to, I can putter the entire world from din. Nobody would be deserving of any punishment. So, Ben Ish Chai asked the obvious question. Why didn't he? If he can putter the whole world, why didn't he putter the whole world from punishment? So he says the following. The Gemara says in Shabbos, the concept called Shnayim She'asim. Meaning, if a malacha on Shabbos, it cannot be done by one individual, needs 2 people to do the malacha, and 2 people do the malacha, so are they chayav or not? So it depends. Chachamim say, if each individual, right, could not do the malacha by themselves, they needed each other, so mele, together they did the malacha, so they're chayav because they did a malacha between them. Each of the one couldn't do malacha without the other one, so together it's like one entity and they're chayav. However, if either one of them could have done the malacha themselves, then it's like 2 people that shared and each did half a malacha, and then they're not chayav. Okay? So the Chachamim say, again, if 2 people cannot do malacha, each one can't do it by himself, only together, so then they're pater. However, they're chayef. They can't do it, either one can't do it by themselves, and they do it together, they're chayef. However, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that's not the case. His shita is, even if Shnayim Shasu and neither can do it, he says there's still pater. You only chayef if you do the malacha by yourself. Even if each one couldn't do it without the other one, they're still pater unless they do it by themselves. Memele, he says, beautiful. Says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, if I wanted to pater the whole world from din, I could do so. How? L'shita si, according to my shita, where Shnayim Shasu is pater, if neither one can do it by themselves, they do it together, they're still pater. So too over here. Why? We have the neshama, like we said, and the goof. The neshama can't do the avera by itself. The goof can't do the avera by itself. Shnayim Shasu. But together they do the avera. Lefi shitas chachamim yachayev. Lefi shitas Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Shnayim Shasu, if neither of them could do it by themselves, you're pater. So in Mele, he says, I could pater the whole world from then. Because Lefi shitati, right, Shnayim Shasu is pater. And the goof or the neshama, neither could do it by themselves, should be pater. So we ask, so why didn't he pater the world? So the answer is, because that's true when it comes to veras, but it also is true when it comes to mitzvahs. Meaning that just like Shnayim Shasu is pater, you don't get punished, but also Shnayim Shasu, you don't get rewarded for mitzvahs either. So he says, well, if I'm going to go with my shita, people aren't going to be punished, but they're not going to get any reward for their mitzvahs. So it's better that I shouldn't pater the whole world, let the shita of the Chachamim play the ikar role over here, and Shnayim Shasu are chayev, if each can't do it. So there will be punishment, but at least it's kedai that people should get go to Gehenna, but at least in the end, that they'll be rewarded for the mitzvahs in the end and be able to go to Gan Eden, because Taim Shasu, at least according to the Chachamim, you'll get rewarded in the end also. The pasuk in the Shira, which you're familiar with, Mi kamocha ve'elim Hashem, Mi kamocha neder b'kodesh, nor sehilas osefela. The Gemara in Sukkah, famous Gemara, says, Lasid lavo, in the future Hashem is going to shech the Yetzer Hara. And the tzaddikim are going to see the Yetzer Hara being shechem, and they're going to picture the Yetzer Hara as a huge mountain. The Rishayim are going to see the Yetzer Hara shechted as like a piece of hair, nothing. Says the Gemara, halalu bochim, halalu bochim. They're both going to cry. The tzaddikim are going to cry and say, oh, how could we have conquered such a huge mountain? And the Rishayim are going to cry and say, how couldn't we have conquered this hair? Nothing. So, another famous question everybody asks on this Gemara, and that is, I can understand why the Rishayim are crying. They see it like a little hair and they weren't able to conquer it. But why were the tzaddikim crying? They saw this great mountain, and they said, and they conquered it. And they said, oh, how could we be able to cry? Okay, you could say they're crying for joy. But Pasha's crying is they're upset. So why were they upset? They conquered this, Yetzer Hara, which is like a mountain. Why would they should be happy, not crying? So the Magi Midubnos has a very, very interesting idea. He said, the world that we live in is full of Nisyonos. Meaning, like Kodesh Baruch Hu, says Svarim tell us, could have put us directly into Gan Eden, no Olam Hazeh, put our neshama straight there for reward. But why didn't he? Because he wanted us to earn our reward. If he would just give us a free reward, it's called Nahama de Chesufa, Chazal call it, it's a bread of embarrassment. It's just like you get a gift, you don't appreciate, you're embarrassed, I don't deserve it. And therefore we have to, we work in this world to deserve Olam Haba. So we'll appreciate it when we get it, Bezrat Hashem. However, even after we're in this world, and we have our nisyonas, and we pass our nisyonas. However, it's really us. Lamaisa, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind the scenes anyways. It's all with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, even in this world. Rav Galinsky says once there was a guy that married off a number of children, and after he married off his last child, he said, made an announcement. He says, I just married off whatever it was, my 10th child, and I did it all bli ezrat Hashem, without the help of Hashem. Out of Hashem. Turned to him and said, how can you say such a thing? Be courses. What do you mean you did it without the help? He goes, no, without the help of Hashem. How can you say such a thing? Hashem didn't help you. He says, what's the definition of help? Help is if I do something, but someone else helps me. And I do, but I just needed some help. That's not the case over here. Hashem did it all. So I call Hashem help me. Help me means I did and Hashem help. Hashem didn't help me, He did everything. So mainly, even in this world, when we have our nisyonos, but my sense, without Hashem, Chazal said, mikti mani v'ashalim, on the pasuk, that person's puts a mezuzah on his door. Ah, I did the mitzvah mezuzah. Hashem says, yeah, who gave you your house? I did the mitzvah mila. The mitzvah pinyin ben. Who gave you your kid? I put tefillin on my arm. Who gave you your arm? Whatever we do, with all the mitzvah we do, it's us. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's help. And even when it comes to averus, Chazal tell us, Ilmale Yozra lo yocholo. We wouldn't be able to fight the Yetzer Hara and not do averus if it wasn't for Hashem's help. So really, anyways, even when we're in this world, we're getting help from Hashem. But what? Hashem, you know, He makes it look as if, you know, we did it. You know, pats us on the back, kolak of a great, you know, look what you did, you did. Well, Maisa, really, it's Him. And Mele says that to the Magmanu, that's why the tzaddikim cry. Because they see this big mountain that they conquered, but they realize only then, after 120 years, that it wasn't them, I mean, it was them, partially, but it was a Kodesh Baruch Hu that helped them. So therefore they're crying because they thought they did it all by themselves. Look what I did. I thought I was doing it. But then they see it was a Kodesh Baruch Hu that helped. And they say, well, I couldn't have done it without a Kodesh Baruch Hu's help. Memele, I thought I was doing it, you know, me. But I see it was a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He was helping me. So anyways, it wasn't me. So they start crying. The following mashal. There was once a wealthy man, and he wanted to help this poor friend of his. But he's had a lot of self-dignity. He didn't want to take any handouts. So he said, many times he tried giving him sake. He said, no, I don't want to. Didn't want to take sake. So got to a point where he wanted to help him, but the guy wouldn't take anything. So he had an idea. He said, he came to him one day and he says, I want to give you a loan. I want to give you a loan. No, I'm not stuck, a loan. Take this money, go into a little business, buy some schora, sell it, you know, and then make some profit, and then you can pay me back. So he said, that he accepted, you know. So he gave him the money. What did this rich man do? Behind the scenes, he spoke to a number of his business partners, friends, you know, and he says, here, I want you to sell the schora to this my friend, but sell it to him at a really cheap rate, okay? So they did so. Then he spoke to some other friends and says, here, go to this guy and buy the schora, and, you know, give him a little extra money for it, you know, more than the average rate, you know, because he really needs the money, whatever. So he set him up with a, you know, cheap schora, and he made the people, you know, organized the people to come in and buy the schora at a high price. And then again, the guy made a lot of money, and he's like, wow, this is great, look at all the money I made. And he came back to the rich guy and says, here, I'm returning the loan. He says, what, so soon you're returning my loan? Wow, that's unbelievable. It's a pella, you're returning the loan. Ah, beautiful. Meanwhile, so too, the nimshal. We're the Maisa. We think in this world we did mitzvahs, we stayed away from Averas. There we come, look what I did. The Maisa, it's all the Kodesh Baruch. Mela says the Ben Ishchai, we say in the Az Yashir, as we said, Micha Mocha Beli, we're praising a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and says, Hashem, you know, you're great. You do everything. But not only that, you do everything, but Osefela, meaning you're mitpale. You're wonder, you say, wow, how did you guys do that? How'd you do these mitzvahs? How'd you do this veras? You're Osefela. You'd help us, and you do everything, and yet, like we saw in the Mashal, you're giving us the credit as if we're doing it. That's the Osefela. Midrash Pliya, perhaps the pasuk Yimloch Hashem Lo'olam. It says Yimloch Hashem Lo'olam Ved Mipnei Ma. Says the Midrash, why is Hashem going to reign forever? Ki ba sus paro, because the horse of Pharaoh came. Well, Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Ved, why? Because ki ba sus paro. What does one thing have to do with the other? So Ryochanan Mi Kremnitz says the following, based on the Paneach Raza. He says, we find similar Lashon here, where Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Ve'ed. David HaMelech said similarly, but a little different. He didn't say Yimloch Hashem Lo'olam, but rather he said, he didn't say Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Ve'ed, but rather he said, Yimloch Hashem Lo'olam, Elokai Yassin L'dor V'dor Aluka. So he changed the position of where Hashem is in the pasuk. David said, Yimloch Hashem Lo'olam. Moshe says, Hashem Yimloch. Why the difference? So he says, because we have to look at where the pasuk is placed. Over here, in the Shira, Moshe said, Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Ve'ed, Ki ba sus paro. So if the Hashem would be put at the end, Yimloch Hashem le'olam, that Hashem is at the afterwards, right after that is kibas sus paro. So we don't want to put Hashem next to sus paro. The mele, before Yimloch, Hashem Yimloch olam ben, Hashem comes before the word Yimloch. However, in the pasuk of David HaMelech, which we say every morning in Psukei Dezimra, right, v'derech rishayim yaves, Yimloch Hashem olam, there it talks about first the rishayim. So we don't want to say right after mentioning the Shoram, Hashem Yimloch Olam Ve'ed. Therefore, first we say Yimloch, and then Hashem, Yimloch Hashem Lo'olam. So Mele, that's the answer to the Midrash. The Midrash says, Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Ve'ed, Mipnei Ma. Why is Hashem before the word Yimloch? Answer the Midrash, Ki Ba Sus Paro. Because right after is Sus Paro. We don't want to put Hashem at the next to Sus Paro. Therefore, it comes before the word Yimloch. Okay. It's Pasuk says, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Kafvav, Hashem Baruch Hu tells us to keep his laws. V'yomer im shamoa tishma l'chol Hashem elokecha v'yashar benav taseh v'zantel mitzvosav, you do everything he says, then kol ha'machala asher santi mi'mitzrayim lo asim alecha, all the sicknesses I gave in Mitzrayim I'm not going to give you, ki ani Hashem rofecha, because I am Hashem your doctor. So the question is asked, Hashem says, I'm not going to give you any machala, right? Nothing. He said, I am your doctor. Well, what do you need a doctor for if there's no sickness? Because I am your doctor. I don't need a doctor. You just said you're not going to give me any of your machalas. What do you need a doctor for? Mashal amad davar domer. There was once two people, call them Reuven and Shimon, and they were sharing a hotel room. And Reuven was quite a wealthy man, and he had quite a lot of money in his wallet. Around $10,000. So what happened? He gets up in the morning, checks his pocket, his wallet's gone with his $10,000. So who must have taken it? Shimon. It's only him and Shimon in the room. Door was locked all night. It must be Shimon. So he says, okay, Shimon, hand it over. He says, what? He says, what do you mean what? My wallet. Come on, don't play dumb. My wallet. So he says, I know what you're talking about. He goes, come on, it's just me and you in the room. And my wallet's gone. It has to be you. Give me my wallet. So he says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. No. So Reuven's getting very angry. He says, listen, Shimon, last chance. If you don't hand me over my wallet, I'm going to break every tooth in your mouth. So Shimon says, you don't scare me. I said, why? He says, because, look, I simple cheshbon. He says, I know there's a great dental surgeon not far from here. People tell me. Great prices. He can give me a full mouth of implants for $2,000. And, you know, there's $10,000 in your wallet. So, okay, so I have to spend $2,000 on implants, but I still, you know, make myself $8,000. So, go ahead. Whatever you want. So Reuven says, Shimon, let me ask you something. Do you know the name of that doctor? He says, no, but I can find out. People tell me he's a good doctor. He says, I want to tell you something. I'm the doctor. So he says, so you have two choices. You know, you can, fine, you want me to break everything. I'll break every tooth in your mouth, but I'm not going to cure you. I'm not going to fix your teeth until you give me back my money. So what do you need the whole, just give me back my money now and you'll have your own teeth and shalom Yisrael. Nimshal, so too over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you keep all my commandments and do everything I told you, then wonderful. Then what happened? Then I'm going to not give you any machalot. So, Yisrael might say, you know what, Hashem, you say we keep your mitzvahs, you won't get machalot. It's okay, I'll do what I want. What about the machalas? So, I'll have machalas. I'll go to the doctor. There's good doctors these days, good medicines these days. So I'll do what I want. What's going to be? Machala? So I'll go to the doctor. Therefore Hashem says, no. Ani Hashem Rofecha. He said, what do you think the doctors get their ability to heal from? From me. I'm the doctor. I'm the main doctor. All the doctors and medicines aren't going to do anything with it. It's me. So therefore he says, keep the mitzvahs and I won't have to bring on machalas. I'll just do it and go to the doctor. Ki ani Hashem rofecha. I'm the doctor, so what do you need it for? Let's do it right to begin. The end of the Sedra, the war with Amalek. Yavo Amalek v'yalachem im Yisrael. Kedushi Arim asked the following. Why dafka did they come to wage war against Klal Yisrael at this time? And dafka, why now? You see, it's Mitzrayim. Right now, they left Mitzrayim. All of a sudden, Amalek. Now, and why dafka Amalek? This is very nice. The Midrash says that when Yaakov Avinu was heading towards Laban's house, that who met up with him? Eliphaz, right? The son of Esau. And he said, my father told me to kill you. So the Midrash says, what did Yaakov Avinu tell him to convince him not to kill him? He says, it's not kedai. It's not worthwhile for you to kill me. Let me explain to you. Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, Ger yezarcha beres lolehem arba miyachanam ve'avadnu bidu aminu atam, right? That the Klal Yisrael have to have the shtar chov, so to speak. They have to pay a shibun in Mitzrayim. Many years of torture. Okay? Now, we're both, you know, from descendants of Yitzhak, you know, Yaakov and Esau. So, listen, if you're going to, you know, kill me, he says to Eliphaz, so then the Shtarchov is going to have to be paid by Esau. You're a son of Esau, you know, you're going to have to pay the Shtarchov. You're going to have to go to Mitzrayim and then slavery. And it's either me or you. So take your choice. Kill me, it's going to be you. So Eliphaz heard this. He says, okay, here, forget it. I'm not killing you. And you can take the Shtarchov. You can go to Mitzrayim. I'm getting out of here. And he left him. That's how Midrash says Yaakov got out of it. Fine. So, sure enough, that's what happened, right? Yaakov's children, the attendants, the Shvatim, etc., we now Mitzrayim, 210 years. But what happened? After Shibud Mitzrayim was over, and now they're leaving, so now Esav, descendants of Esav, says, okay, now the Shtarchov's paid, right? We didn't want to be in Mitzrayim. We let them be Mitzrayim. So they were, but in Israel were in Mitzrayim. So now, let's wipe them out so we can take over, because now the Shtarchov's clean. It's no more. So therefore, that's why it was Dafka Amalek that attacked them, and Dafka now, after it's Mitzrayim, because now the Shtarchov was paid. Now they said, now it's time to attack and kill them. Now we can take all the good for ourselves. So to Hashem, we should all be Zoiche, to see the destruction of Amalek and the Kisei of Hashem, Bishalem once again, Bevias Gold Tzedek, Bimhir Bimhir.